This week on Vaticano, the sound of music at the Vatican, how a musical ministry tells children of Jesus. Also, join us to celebrate the Pontifical North American College in Rome, learn about dialogue and peace, and explore with us Dignitas Infinita, the Vatican's latest declaration on human dignity. For this and more, Vaticano starts now. Pontifical North American College plays a unique role in the Catholic Church in North America. Established in 1859 by Blessed Pius IX, it has shaped over 5,000 priests. Currently, more than 250 men are undergoing formation at the seminary. The NAC recently hosted the 30th edition of its annual Rector's Dinner. The Rector's Dinner is a special occasion to honor individuals who have significantly contributed to the life of the college and the church. This year, the college bestowed the Rector's Award upon two individuals. His Eminence, Cardinal Wilton Gregory, Archbishop of Washington and an alumnus of the college, and Mrs. Lori Mondaini.
I would always say that they were my boys. You know, I always felt like the proud mama.
Mrs. Mondaini served as the secretary to seven rectors for over 39 years. Many of the priests trained at the college have hailed her as the heart and soul of the seminary.
It's been really an incredible, incredible experience for me to be here as the rector's secretary and to be able to witness so much of these men who came here to study in preparation for the priesthood and would go back to their home diocese as wonderful priests, the wonderful priests that they became.
Cardinal Gregory, an alumnus of the college, shared with us the special role the NAC has for the church in North America.
This particular seminary, because it is located in Rome, provides the opportunity for these young men to get a grasp of the universality of the church. But they do it in the context of the city of Rome, where they must develop a positive and a deep affection for the one who sits on the chair of Peter. So it puts them in context with the Holy Father, and with this particular Holy Father, he enjoys that opportunity to be with his people.
Serving under seven rectors and accompanying so many thousands of seminarians in navigating the Eternal City, Lori has made so many memories.
Oh, gee, there are just so many, I could write a book. I've made so many friends, and just being present for these for the students here. And in the beginning, I felt sort of like an older sister to many of them. And then obviously, it was years going by, and getting older, I started feeling like a mom. And just seeing them come to say hello and come to the office and spend a few minutes with me and just have a chat here and there, and just to listen to some of their stories and be able to be part of their lives was one of the probably one of the best things, really. And some of them had also come on vacation with my husband and my family. They came with us for a few days in southern Italy, and that was also wonderful to be able to show them around and also be able to share some meals with them, have them at home. It was always just so great. They're just so many years, so many things. It's not even easy to remember them right now.
It was Mother Angelica, our foundress, it was her dream long ago when she began EWTN 43 years ago that EWTN would have a presence here at the Vatican, to be able to bring the news of the church, to bring the events of the church, to bring the life of the church to people around the world.
Since 2012, journalists, producers, editors, cameramen, and Vatican experts have been operating from the EWTN Vatican office, located just a stone's throw away from St. Peter's Basilica on the renowned Via della Conciliazione. Starting this year, EWTN journalists have an extra office on the same street, merely a few minutes walk away.
A new step to bring news of the church globally to the world, to share the stories of the church, not just from Rome, not just from certain places, but really to build a global news operation that enables us to spread the message of the gospel through news and through the news contents.
Michael Warsaw is the CEO of EWTN. Together with EWTN News President Monse Alvarado and Vatican Bureau Chief Andrea Stonehauser, he cut the ribbon.
This really does feel like family. Those of you who remember Mother Angelica and her programming and who watch Michael and the messages that he broadcasts, he always starts saying, "Hello, family." And it took me a long time to kind of adopt the "hello, family" and for that to be meaningful to me. And it really is meaningful today, because looking around here, this isn't an endeavor that you take on because you have ambition to be great in one way or another. You take it on because you want others to know Christ. And that Christ-centric desire is obviously embodied in the legacy of Mother Angelica, but it's the great privilege to be family. Family fights. Family has all kinds of things that come with it, but most of all, family has love.
The head of the Diocese of Birmingham, Alabama, Bishop Stephen John Ryka, blessed the office.
My wish would be also that we could all join in prayer that for EWTN, for this office space, that whatever is being said in here, whatever is being written in here, whatever video package we produce here, whatever live broadcast or events we are trying to put together, that this really serves to the greater glory of God, to really build His kingdom. So please, today, when you go on, maybe you still have a Mass or at your night prayers, keep that in your mind, keep that in your prayers.
Hello and welcome to this week's Vaticano Updates, the most important news from the Holy Father and the Vatican. Pope Francis met with a group of 200 children at a parish in Rome. For 1 hour, the Pope catechized the children. Responding to their questions, he offered a brief overview on the topic of the prayer of thanksgiving, emphasizing that this is one of the most important in the Christian life. The Papal Foundation, a US-based organization that provides funding for Catholic projects around the world in honor of Pope Francis, has announced it will distribute nearly $15 million in grants, scholarships, and charitable aid. This funding supports global Catholic projects aiming to meet basic needs like access to clean water, building and renovating schools, and translating church teachings for evangelization. Established 35 years ago, the foundation was created following a request from Pope John Paul II. In the 2024 edition of the Annuario Pontificio, or Pontifical Yearbook, Pope Francis has reinstated the ancient honorary title Patriarch of the West. This reverses Pope Benedict XVI's 2006 decision to suspend the title, which was first adopted by Pope Theodore in 642 and used for centuries. The Holy See Press Office has not yet provided an explanation for Pope Francis' decision to restore this title. Pope Francis also expressed deep sorrow upon hearing about a tragic incident in Australia, where a 40-year-old man with a large knife killed 6 people at a Sydney shopping center and injured several others, including a 9-month-old child. The Pope sent assurances of his spiritual support to all affected and offered prayers for the deceased, the injured, and the first responders. He invoked divine blessings of consolation and strength for the nation. Pope Francis is set to visit the Asia-Pacific region from September the 2nd to the 13th. After his stop in Indonesia, the Holy Father will continue to Papua New Guinea and East Timor before concluding his trip in Singapore. This 11-day international journey will be the longest of Pope Francis's pontificate. Thank you for watching this week's Vaticano Updates. Andreas Stonehauser for EWTN Vaticano.
What is the value of human life? After a short break, we'll be back with an in-depth look into the Vatican's newest declaration on dignity.
There are those who presume to be able to establish, based on utilitarian and functional criteria, when a life has value and is worthy of being lived. This kind of mentality can lead to serious violations of the rights of the weakest individuals.
The Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith's new document, Dignitas Infinita, or Infinite Dignity, was 5 years in the making and was promulgated on April the 2nd. The 19th anniversary of the death of Pope St. John Paul II. It expands upon the papal teachings of the past decade, addressing a range of issues from war and poverty to violence against immigrants and women, from abortion and surrogate motherhood to euthanasia, and from gender theory to digital violence.
I think one of the key things that it does, and its most powerful contribution, is reminding us that we have traditionally employed a throwaway culture and that people with disability are at risk of being excluded and marginalized.
Within Dignitas Infinita, there's an entire section focused on the marginalization of people with disabilities, in which paragraph 53 includes a strong call for people with disabilities to be more broadly included in the life of the Church. Pope Francis addressed the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences and spoke on the recently released Declaration on Human Dignity. The Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences met for a plenary session on disability inclusion at the Vatican. For 3 days, the Conference of the Vatican included discussions on the rights of persons with disabilities, policies for greater economic inclusion, and philosophical perspectives on disability and the human condition.
This document, Dignitas Infinita, reminds the Church that it can't just speak about dignity and not act. Dignity, Pope Francis says, isn't bestowed. It's something that's inherent. It exists at the very core and value of the human person, and the person with disability has to be part of that.
There is also, in today's throwaway culture, a less visible and dangerous aspect that erodes the value of people with disabilities in the eyes of society and in their own eyes. It is the tendency to consider life a burden. This mentality transforms the culture of discard into a culture of death.
The new text helps bridge the gap between those who solely prioritize issues at the beginning and end of life, neglecting other attacks on human dignity, and those who solely advocate for the poor and migrants, overlooking the need to defend life from conception to its natural end. One of the participants at the plenary assembly was Professor Tom Shakespeare, Professor of Disability Research at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine.
The whole theme is that we must treat disabled people with dignity, with respect, and include people in a society of the future. Pope Francis himself has said that. It was a great humbling opportunity to see him this morning in a wheelchair now. He is the same. He is full of vigor. He's just different. And we are all the same. We're all God's children.
In his speech to the Pontifical Academy, Pope Francis underlined that vulnerability and frailty are part of the human condition and not something proper only to persons with disabilities. Thank you. Vatican just announced that Pope Francis will travel to several Southeast Asian countries. The Holy Father will embark on an 11-day multi-country voyage in September. It'll be the longest international trip of Pope Francis's papacy. He'll be visiting Indonesia, Papua New Guinea, East Timor, and Singapore. This spring, the Holy See has intensified its interreligious efforts in Asia, fostering connections with various religious denominations. This initiative is spearheaded by the Vatican's Dicastery for Interreligious Dialogue, which engages with faiths including Islam, Buddhism, Judaism, and recently, Confucianism. Father Pauline Kubuya recently traveled to Taiwan to represent the Vatican at a conference. During his visit to Fujian Catholic University, he worked on establishing a framework for Christian-Confucian dialogue. This framework aims to guide the Catholic minority in East Asia on how to practice their faith within the context of local cultural traditions.
Confucianism is one among the traditions that has inspired many of the people living there, starting from China, expanding to Korea, Japan, Vietnam, and today is in this globalized world.
Father Kubuya explains that until the 19th century, Confucianism played a significant role in guiding behavior in the East Asian region. Even today in Taiwan, the Analects of Confucius are taught in schools. That's why his Vatican office has chosen to establish official guidelines for engaging in dialogue with Confucianism. These guidelines aim to clarify boundaries and identify common ground to facilitate meaningful dialogue.
Especially for Asian Christians who are coming from this area, this dialogue, these guidelines will be helpful because it will enable them to dialogue with themselves. There are practices that in the past they could not simply know how to deal with.
The workshop in Taiwan was an important step into producing the guidelines that are expected in the coming months. There were a lot of cultural issues discussed that are important for the Chinese faithful, such as ancestor worship, burial rites, and ethical and moral values embedded in the culture influenced by Confucianism. Around the same time, the Vatican office also organized a conference in Hong Kong focused on fostering dialogue with Taoism. In another noteworthy effort, the Holy See has collaborated with the Republic of Kazakhstan. Following a memorandum of understanding with Kazakhstan's Nazarbayev Center, the Holy See led the first joint colloquium discussing Pope Francis's writings on the environment, particularly Laudato Si and Laudato Deum, as Kazakhstan has faced floods that some experts attribute to climate change. During a meeting with the group, the Holy Father expressed his support for the initiative and encouraged efforts towards promoting peace.
We need instead to speak of peace, to dream of peace, to give creativity and substance to hopes for peace, for these are the real hopes of individuals and of peoples.
These initiatives are part of a wider strategy to support the Congress of Leaders of World and Traditional Religions, an event Pope Francis attended 2 years ago in Astana, the capital of Kazakhstan. The church in Asia is one of the most rapid growing. Archbishop Rino Fisichella, who is the Vatican's head for promoting new evangelization, calls the church in Asia the spring of faith.
And it is a soul, is an emotion to see how people is present in the church. They are proud of their own faith, and then they share with everybody, and this is the way of the evangelization. You can see how the kingdom of God is not just a Western. The kingdom of God is around all the world.
In September, Pope Francis will personally greet and bless the faithful in several Asian countries in which Catholics are a tiny minority. The Vatican's initiatives on interreligious dialogue are paving the way. After the break, we'll travel back to Rome and hear more about evangelization with a musical ministry from the land that gave birth to the Sound of Music. Stay with us. God's Singing Kids. Much like the cherished musical, The Sound of Music, a heartwarming celebration unfolded in the Vatican as children and young adults gathered in Rome to commemorate the anniversary of their missionary ministry. Through their own captivating musical productions centered around saints and biblical narratives, they've touched the hearts of tens of thousands, spreading the message of the gospel throughout the German-speaking world.
We founded KISE 30 years ago, so we thought it's a good point in time to celebrate and to say thank you to God for all his protection and provision in all these years. So we thought we could do a pilgrimage to Rome, and we happened to be here and to visit the grave of St. Peter and also the Pope and many churches.
It's so nice to celebrate KISE for 30 years, because I think also that it will continue even more than 30 years, and I'm happy for so many kids that they get to know Jesus through KISE.
The kids attended the Palm Sunday Mass, where they had the chance to meet Pope Francis.
I think it's special to see the successor in Peter and to know like he is the head of the church, and to see him in real life.
For me, the Pope is a real role model, so he's so humble and he really loves the people, you can feel that. So that's I also want to be like him.
The children also participated in Mass at the German heart of the Vatican, Campo Santo Teutonico, where they indulged in their favorite activity, singing praises to the Lord.
Singing in Holy Mass is one of our main callings, so we do it a lot. And so we, from the beginning, we tried to do songs with a kind of dancing. It's only movements to express what we sing.
Pauline, Pauline, du, ich werde es meiner Mama sagen. Es ist nicht übertrieben. Es ist schön.
Ja, es ist schön.
KISE's mission is to evangelize through their musicals, providing children and families with an opportunity to discover Jesus, his teachings, and his church. One of their recent productions is Pauline, Courage Changes the World, a musical depicting the life of Pauline Marie Jaricot, founder of the Pontifical Mission Societies.
So I play Pauline Marie Jaricot, and it's really special for me because I can really learn very much from her, because she really was a disciple of Jesus. But I really enjoyed it because I think it brought me nearer to her. One priest said it today, that the saints should really have an impact in our lives today, and I experienced this with Pauline.
The KISE group exemplifies how divine providence continues to work in spreading the gospel.
People who are watching us, they start to think, they start to open their Bible and to read it. And so then we found, okay, that's our message. If people don't read the Bible, we will tell them stories of the Bible. They will watch it and then, well, that's interesting. And then maybe and hopefully they start to read.
Providence doesn't only work through them, but also for them, enabling them to overcome many obstacles along the way as the group wholly relies on God's providence.
On Sunday, we were celebrating Holy Mass in Austria. After Mass, the priest came and said, Hannes, do you need money? I said, all the time I need money. And I said, why? He said, God told me during Holy Mass, I should ask a friend if he can help you. 2.5 months later, we had 2.5 million euro, and we could buy a beautiful house and farmhouse renovated next to the lake, to the sea. It's very beautiful. And it was it was a gift of the Lord.
As a volunteer, it's really nice to live together in a house, in a Kisi house in Austria. So everybody can come in the Kisi house, and then you live together and you serve, you are going to be with kids, and it's a nice life together.